I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter 17. The Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter 17, please. We're reading just a few verses from the chapter, moving away down to the verse number 30, please. Acts chapter 17 and the verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Amen. We do know that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to all of our hearts. Just a moment of prayer as we turn to the Word of God, please. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all that has taken place in our gathering thus far. Thank You for the old hymns of Zion tonight. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for us. Thank You again for the tithes and for the offerings brought into the storehouse. And again, we pray what has been given, You'll take and You'll use for Your glory. But now, Lord, we thank You for Your Word, that Word that forever is settled in heaven. And Lord, as we turn to meditate upon it, we would ask that the Holy Spirit tonight would be the one that would lead us and direct us, Lord, to proclaim the glorious message of the Gospel. Lord, we would pray for a stillness in the meeting. We would pray for a preparation of hearts, that hearts might receive the glorious truth of the Gospel. Continue with us now. Close us in with Thyself. Shelter us neath the precious blood. We ask it in our Savior's lovely, lovely name. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul comes to the city of Athens, comes to find a city that is totally and utterly steeped in idolatry. It says in verse 16 of chapter 17, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. After spending some days in the marketplace, he was disputing, he was debating with those who resorted there. Paul comes to that place in the city called Mars Hill. Mars Hill was the place or the court in which the Areopagites, the supreme judges of Athens, they assembled there. And so standing in the midst of Mars Hill, before the representatives of the very best of the world's learned people, and a great crowd of others who had just come along to listen, Paul began to preach. And Paul took as his text that day three words. The unknown God. The unknown God. And that day, Paul the Apostle, filled with the Holy Spirit, he delivered with great effect one of the most dynamic, one of the most powerful gospel messages of all time. A message that has remained on record for some 2,000 years and will do so until time will be no more. I want us tonight to take a very, very brief look at just a part of that message, especially the concluding part of the sermon, verses 30 and the verse 31. It says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." As Paul brings his great message to a close that day, he makes mention of 4 days. And it is these 4 days that I want us to look at this evening. 4 days at Mars Hill. 4 days at Mars Hill. It's all very simple, but I trust that the Lord will bless what He has laid upon our hearts for this evening. We have all the special days in our lives, haven't we? The day we left school, I'll never forget. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. A day I will never forget. People will still say, you know, school days are the happiest days of your life. I debate it. To me, I will never, never be convinced. I bring my grandson, he's 17, he's 18 next week, and he goes to the Takanuri. And I lift him every morning at 7:45 to bring him in to get the bus. And I'll say to him, you know, son, school is very important. You need an education. And really, it is the best days of your life. And I'm coming out home on my own. I'm saying, Lord, please forgive me for what I've told that wee lad, because I don't believe it myself. And I don't. But you know, there are many wonderful days throughout our lifetimes. Just a fortnight ago, I celebrated my 50th wedding anniversary. And I told Phyllis, I think I deserve to be on the Queen's birthday honours list, but she disagreed with me. A few weeks before that, I celebrated my 70th birthday, so it's been a big year for me. The Lord has been good. All special days. But there's days here in God's Word that I want you to look at this evening. And the first day that Paul speaks about is their day of ignorance. Their day of ignorance. It says in verse 30, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at." Now, there's no doubt most, if not all, of the people of Athens were ignorant concerning the things of God. Now, by ignorant, I don't mean they were ill-mannered. I don't mean they were rude. What I'm saying is they were totally unaware of God. They knew little or nothing about God. And it is very, very clear they don't even know who God is. Here were a people and they didn't know that God was the creator of all things. And Paul has to remind them of that. Paul has to bring their minds into this sort of thinking. And Paul says to them in the verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein." Paul says, look, your thinking is all wrong. There is a creator. Paul says, the mighty God of heaven that I'm talking about, He is the creator of all things. But Paul then goes on ahead to say, not only is God the creator, people, God says, listen, God is also the sustainer of all things. And he tries to explain to these people that it's God who upholds everything by the word of his power, that the reins of the universe are in his hands, and never, 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 for one moment, do they ever slip out of his grasp. Paul says, not only am I talking about the Creator, but He's also the sustainer of all things. And Paul says there's something else that's very important. Paul says, we're talking about a God who will be the terminator of all things. Paul says, these people, they're ignorant of all of these things concerning God. You know, Paul's hand in his message to these people. Try to think this way. This world won't go on forever. And we're tonight sitting in Dromore. And apart from the Bible, common sense tells us that the world's resources, they won't go on forever. But God says, and Paul says, heaven and earth shall pass away. God's trying to get these people to realize that God one day will determine when this old world has run its course. And God alone will be the terminator of all things. People of Athens, they were totally ignorant of the things of the great God of heaven. He was totally unknown to them. Totally unknown to them. They knew nothing about God. But there's people sitting perhaps in our service tonight and in other services. Do you really know who God is? Do you really believe that He is the Creator? Do you really believe that He is the Sustainer? Do you really believe that He is the Terminator of all things? Do you really believe that one day God will bring this whole world to an end? This God that I'm telling you tonight about, and if you're here and you're not saved, this is the God who holds your very next breath in His hand, and you've never glorified His name. These people were ignorant of their need of God. But listen, friends, if you don't have any concept of who God is, how can you be aware of your need of Him? And that's why Paul tries to leave verse 27 before them. He says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Paul puts it to them very, very simply and very, very clearly. Paul is saying to these people, people, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. But you need God. And my friends, that is the message of the gospel. Unsaved man, unsaved woman, unsaved young people, please listen to me tonight. Listen to this. If you hear nothing more, listen to this. You need God. And if you can really grasp that fact tonight, oh, how worthwhile our coming together would be. These Athenians, why they were ignorant of who God is. They were ignorant of their need of God. But there's something else. They were ignorant of a way of approach to God. You see, these were a people who laid great store on their shrines and their temples and their altars. These people looked at their big buildings and they just idolized them. They loved them and they lived for them. We can come closer to home, can't we? There are people tonight in Dromore and they do anything for their building that they're going to. There's churches, and I don't attack churches, but there's church buildings and there's people who would lay down their lives for the building. They would do anything for it at any hour of the day or night. But as far as Christ is concerned, they've no time. And they're like these people at Athens. Their shrines and their altars mean so much to them. And you know, friends, it's one thing to go and come to a church. But it's a different thing to come to Christ. Totally different. You see, if you're going to come to Christ, you've got to come God's way. There's no other way. And it's not through the church. There's only one way, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself lays out that way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friends, people are missing heaven tonight because of church buildings. Cain missed heaven because he thought there was another way. And the Scriptures warns us again and again and again, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. If you're here tonight, I'm telling you, there's a way to God tonight. And I love this church, and I love the Free Presbyterian Church, and it's not the church. Thank God there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that's open that all may go in. It's Calvary's cross. That's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, their day of ignorance. But then secondly, Paul reminds these people of another day. And he said to them, there's a day for repentance. A day for repentance. He says in verse 30 again, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. It's very clear. This is a word that has got lost from so much so-called gospel or evangelical preaching today. It's a word that a lot of so-called preachers like to set to the one side. But in the Bible, there's so much references and so many references made to repentance in the context of salvation. In fact, there can be no salvation without repentance. It's not possible. We can't prepare for heaven without wealth. We can't prepare for heaven without great wealth. We can't prepare for heaven without great learning and great knowledge. But we will never, never, never prepare for heaven without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist preached repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ preached repentance. The Apostle Peter preached repentance. The Apostle Paul preached repentance. They all preached repentance to salvation. You'll say, well, Joe, what is repentance? You all know what it is. I suppose the loveliest example at all of is found in the story of the prodigal son. You remember how that young man, that rebellious young man, went away from home and left his father, broke his father's heart, and how he went away into the depths of the filth of the world. You remember one night as he sat there with the pigs, filthy, hungry, cold, with no one to care. And that young man that night made a journey. And it was the greatest journey of his life. And the Bible says he came to himself. What a journey. He came to himself. And what did he do? He repented. He got up. He turned his back on the swine. He turned his back on the filth. And he went back to his father. And he pleaded with his father. And his father just put his arms around him and brought him home. That was repentance. He turned his back on his sin and he came to his father. And dear friends, that's repentance tonight in the gospel. You turn your back on your sin and you come to the Savior. And if you do that, my, you'll find one who loves you. I have sat down with people and they've been almost trembling, their feelings about getting saved. And they've sat and they've shed tears. And they were full of remorse. They had all of those things, but they weren't prepared to repent of their sins. Friends, you can have feelings, you can have tears, you can have remorse, you can have all of these things, but unless they're accompanied by repentance, a turning from sin, and a turning to God, you will never be saved. Never. I sat one night with a man in a car, in my car. I went to school with him. And he sat hitting his head of the window. And he kept saying, as he cried, "I can't get back. I can't get back." And I said to him, "Stop for a wee moment. Do you really want to get back?" And he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, "No. No." He wasn't prepared to repent. And dear friends, if you want to be in the land that's fairer than day, to meet the loved ones in glory, there has to be repentance and a turning to Christ. So there's a day of repentance. But the third day he speaks about is a day of judgment. A day of judgment. Verse 30 and 31 again it says, "And at this times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Listen, "because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." There's a reason why we must get to know about God. There's a reason why we must seek after God. And there's a reason why we must repent of our sin. There's a reason why we must have God's salvation. And you'll find that reason in verse 31. There's a little word in it that says, "because." Because. Because. And this is the reason why, friends, you need to be saved. You need to repent. You need to get right with God. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. There's coming a day of judgment. A terrible day of judgment. A day when every man born of humankind must stand before God. If you have time tonight, go home, read the book of Revelation chapter 20. You'll get a very graphic description of God's judgment. Oh, I know there's great debate about it. There's many things we're not sure of concerning this day, but there's one thing you can be dead on, certain, sure of, and it's this. There will be a day of judgment. God must judge sin, and God must punish sin. And if we don't repent and be pardoned in the day of God's grace, which is now, we will be condemned and we will be punished in the day of God's judgment. That frightens me. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm saved. If you don't repent and be pardoned in the day of God's grace, let me say it, which is now, you will be condemned and punished in the day of God's judgment. What a day. A day of ignorance. A day of repentance. A day of judgment. Ah, but I finish up on a good note tonight. Paul speaks about a day of salvation. But a day of salvation. It says in verse 34, "Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed." And believed. In the crowd that day there were those who believed. There were those who repented. There were those who trusted Christ, were wonderfully and gloriously saved. Of course, as usual, we're told some mocked. There were the mockers. You stand in the open air, we know what they are, don't we? But some procrastinated. Well, we'll hear you again. How many times have you heard that? We'll talk to you again about it. Ah, but some believed. For some, this was for them their day of salvation. You know, friends, if you're not saved, you're privileged by what you hear in this church week by week. You hear the message of the gospel in all its fullness. And I want to say something to you tonight as I come to a close in warning. If you're prepared to live without Christ and die without Christ, you will be without Christ for all eternity. Let me say that again. If you are prepared to live without Christ and die without Christ, you will be without Christ for all eternity. And you will remember every gospel meeting that you ever sat in. You will remember every gospel tract that was put into your hand. You will remember every opportunity that God gave you to get right with His Son. You will remember them all. And you will remember the night that Joe Peden stood in remorse and struggled and tried to warn you about the day of judgment and the place called hell. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But maybe some of you, you're out of Christ. You're held by many a snare. Oh, we cannot leave you lost and known. We don't want you over there. The Lord wants you over there. What about the tomorrow people? You know, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God gives you an opportunity. You'll say, when is it? It's now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A day of ignorance, day of repentance, a day of judgment. But thank God for you tonight, if you're not saved, you can enjoy a day of salvation. Trust that the Lord will bless His word to all of our hearts. We're just going to bow together in a word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close. Father, we thank Thee again for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank You, Lord, that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. We thank You tonight that there's one whose arms are ever open to the wayward sinner, saying, come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Father, help the dear unsaved tonight to come to the Saviour, and make no delay, for here in His word He shows us the way. Separate us now with Your blessing. Do watch over us until we meet again. Remember the brethren, Lord, should they go to the open air, we pray, Lord, that You'll go with them and make it a night of blessing and perhaps a night of salvation for some dear needy sinner. Part us now with Your blessing. We ask it in our Saviour's lovely, lovely name. Amen. Amen.